Thank you very much for coming this morning. Yes, so it's all of you. Welcome to Rabbi Sachs' Sunday morning shiur. This morning, this shiur is being sponsored by Hedy and Jay Richmond in memory of Estelle Richmond, Esther Basia Bas Naftali, Aleha Shalom. May the learning have an aliyah for her neshama. And today's topic is Tefillas Maariv. And Rabbi Sachs will be here next week in Mitzvah Hashem as well. B'chol Gadol Rav Sachs.
The Mishnah tells us in Brachos on Daf Chavav that Tfilas Arvis Ein La Keva, that in a certain sense Maariv is not a fixed Tfila. And the Gemara raises the obvious question, what exactly is the implication of this Mishnah? If it simply tells us that one can daven Maariv all night, the Gemara tells us the Mishnah to say that Tfilas Arvis is Kol HaLayla. What exactly is the significance of Ein La Keva? The Gemara answers that the Machlokis is between Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamliel, whether Tfilas Arvis is a Chova, or whether Tfilas Arvis is considered to be a Rishus. And the comment of Tfilas HaLayla Ein La Keva indicates that, in a certain sense, Maariv is not as binding as Shachris and Mincha. Rabbi Yonah comments on that Gemara in Brachos and the Chav Zayin that really the term Keva has both implications. Number one, it means that one can daven throughout the entire night, as well as the obligation for Maariv is not equivalent to that of Shachris and Mincha. Tosus immediately comments that the word Rishus really does not mean that it's optional. One can take it or leave it, yes, daven Maariv or no daven Maariv. After all, the Gemara tells us in Brachos Nafchavav, if a person fails to daven Maariv, he's obligated to daven Tashlumin, an additional tfilas Shachris. The Gemara writes later in Brachos and Daf Lamed, let's assume, for example, in Rosh Chodesh, a person fails to mention Yala V'Yava. The Gemara explains the only reason you don't repeat the Shmoneh Esrei is because our tefillah is patterned after the process of Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh is only Bayom, and therefore at night, if a person forgets Yala V'Yava, you don't repeat the Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Chodesh. On Chol HaMoed, for example, if a person should omit Yala V'Yava, you're obligated to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei even during Maariv. How can that be? Tosfos writes, apparently you see that the term Rishus does not mean something which is optional, but rather at times when the Gemara is contrasting two different obligations and it wants to demonstrate that one is more chomor and the other is more kal, it will call that which is more stringent the chova, that which is relatively lenient the Rishus. And this is clear from a Mishnah elsewhere, Beitzah Daf Lamed Vav Mabeis, whereas Rashi points out, and that's Sugyan Beitzah, that the Mishnah refers to that which is clearly a mitzvah min HaTorah as a Rishus. Rashi writes, what is the term Rishus? Legabe mitzvah acheres, in a relative sense. So relatively speaking, Maariv is not necessarily as stringent as Shachris and Mincha. Why exactly should that be? Why should Maariv be any different from the other tfilos of the day? The Gemara never really explains explicitly why this should be the case. But Rashi writes an interesting chiddush. This Rashi is not found in Maseches Brachos. This Rashi is found in Daf Tes in Maseches Shabbos. When you learn the Sugyan Brachos and Daf Chavav, the Gemara quotes two different possibilities as to the source of tefillah. We discussed this last week when it came to Tefillas Musaf. Is tefillah based on Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, or should we assume that tefillah is connected to Midin Tiknu, based on Hakrabas Hakrabanos? That is the Machlokes Amoraim and the Chavav Madei. You get to the Sugya the Negudaf and the Chav Zayin, now you have the Machlokes Tanaim, whether Maariv is Rishus, or whether Maariv is Echova. And the Gemara never links these two issues. But Rashi and Shabbos Naftes writes that the linkage is clear. Why should you assume that Tfilas Arvis is only a Rishus? Rashi writes, based on Hakrabas, Hakarbanos. After all, when it comes to carbon, isn't there a marked difference? There's a carbon which is set of the Tamid Shol Shachar. There is a set carbon of the Tamid Shol Ben Arbaim. But there is no Hakrabas Hakarbanos Balayla. Simply a varim upedarim, fats and limbs that were not yet offered during the day, they will continue and burn throughout the night. But Laila is not really Zman Avoda. When it comes to Hakrabas Hakarbanos, there's a marked difference between morning and afternoon as opposed to night, and that is why one should assume that Maariv is a Rishus. So a chiddush of Rashi, that really the Machlokes Tanaim, whether Maariv is a Chov or whether Rishus, parallels the Machlokes Amoraim, what exactly is the source of tefillah. The Netziv points out in Shultos that if you look at the Shultos of Rabbi Chai Gaon and Shulto Ches, this cannot be, because the Shultos cites the Shita that Avos Tiknum, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Machlokas, Rabbi Yosef Rachanina, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And the Shultos assumes tefillah is based on Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And yet the Shultos assumes Mahalacha tefillah service is a Rishus. Somehow, even within Avos, there must be a difference between the various tefillahs Hayom. Somewhat difficult. Why should there be a difference between the tefillah of Yaakov, you know, as opposed to that of Avram and Yitzchak? Then it suggests the following, that if you look in the Gemara Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph, the Gemara is bothered by the following. The Torah tells us, what is the source of the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu? Vayivka v'makom v'yolen shem. The Torah describes that Yaakov Avinu found himself in a certain circumstance, in a certain condition, in a certain time and place. Vayivka b'makom. And that's what the Gemara explains, that kimato l'choran, when Yaakov Avinu reached the city of Choran, Amar, Efshar sha'avarti al-makom shispal avosai vanilo hispalalti. How is it possible that I passed through a place where my forefathers Avram, Yitzchak, and David, and I did not engage in tefillah? And immediately, vayivka b'makom vayolen shem. Here the Netziv points out that the Torah seems to ascribe the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu to circumstance. When it comes to Avram Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Vayashkem Avram Bamoker, Vayetze Yitzhak, Vasuach Basade, it doesn't mention because of any particular circumstance or condition. Here, that is not true when it comes to Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, perhaps one could argue that the tefillah of Yaakov is not an indicator of an established tefillah keva, but rather as tefillah arvis irishus. Perhaps one could argue in the following sense. When the Torah mentions Vayifka b'makom v'yalen sham, the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, certainly at that point that Yaakov Avinu found himself be'es Sarah, fleeing be'es of harashik, was a time of dire need. And as we've discussed in earlier shiurim, the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah of tefillah each and every day. That's the Rambam begins the chos tefillah, mitzvah saseim lihispalo b'chol yom, u'avdo b'chol levavchem. That's what the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, and Mitzvah Hei. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban writes that there's no categorical obligation to daven each and every day. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, however, in Mitzvah Hei, mentions a noted exception, and that is the Eis Tzara. If a person finds themselves in a particular circumstance of Tzara, then the Ramban writes, I will agree that there is a mitzvah in HaTorah that's Parshas Padoscha. Al Hatzar Hatzara Eschem. Be'es Tzara. That certainly is a mitzvah daraisa of tefillah. Perhaps one could argue as follows, that precisely because Yaakov Avinu found himself Be'es Tzara, and he engaged in tefillah, then cannot serve as a model for a mitzvah of davening each and every day, day in and day out. Again, it was because of the circumstance that Yaakov Avinu found himself. And perhaps that is why the Shultos can maintain, even if one adopts the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, but that was not necessarily an indicator of a tefillah schova each and every day. So therefore, a couple of possibilities as to why one could assume that even based on Avos, nonetheless, Marav is different than that of Shachris and Mincha. What exactly does it mean then, that Tfilas Arvis is considered to be a Rishus? After all, as Tosus mentions, he certainly must daven, and Tosus is Raya from a Tfilas Tashlumin, or a person who made a mistake in his Tfilah. What is the difference as to whether something is a Tfilas Chova or a Tfilas Nedava, a Tfilas Rishus? So Tosus writes in Brachos Nafkof of the following, a very technical difference, and that is, if a person has to choose, for example, between the performance of two different mitzvahs, legabe mitzvah acheres vehi overes. If one of those obligations is davening the Mariv Shmon Esrei, so therefore you'll put aside Mariv in order to engage in that other mitzvah. In other words, that one certainly must daven Mariv. The difference is just a hierarchy of mitzvahs, the triage of mitzvahs, but nonetheless, Mariv certainly is a chiyuv, and that's why the Gemara can mention that if a person is called a tefilaso, he's obligated, for example, to daven again, even when it comes to Mariv. The other Rishonim maintain that perhaps no. When the Gemara writes tefilas arvis rishus, it really means that, in principle, tefilas arvis was an optional tefilas nedava. However, as the Halachos Gedolos writes, Kvar shaviwa aleha kicholva. That we already, throughout the history, have adopted the practice of davening Mariv routinely. Shaviwa aleha kicholva. Therefore, for us, in a certain sense, there is an absolute obligation to daven Mariv. What exactly does that mean, shaviwa aleha kichova? If you look at the expression in the Rishonim, you find different emphasis. The Rambam, for example, writes in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, kvar nahogu kol Yisrael, b'chol makomos moshoseihem. That already all of Klal Yisrael has taken upon themselves the practice of davening Mariv. You get the impression from the Rambam, this is not an individual acceptance, that you did this or I did that, but the Rambam writes, kvar nahogu kol Yisrael. And if you look in the Tosfos and Chagig and Daf Tes, Tosfos seems to disagree and understand Shavila Kechove in a more individual sense, that I have taken upon myself this practice. What exactly does that mean? Tosfos has two further deos. Does it mean that I do so regularly, routinely, I daven Mariv? Or does it mean no, in this particular night? I'm engaging in Shmon Esrei, and I forgot on Chol HaMoed to say Yalo V'Yavo, but I opted in to daven Mariv, and therefore, once a person decided to daven Mariv, so therefore, for that night, so to speak, if he would make a mistake in his Shmon Esrei, he's obligated to repeat. So the Rambam seems to indicate that Shavila Kechova, in terms of broad strokes, Nago Kol Yisrael, Tosus in a more individual, particular sense, either that I routinely, every night I daven Mariv, or at least on this particular night I have done so. In such a case, if a person makes a mistake, he's obligated to repeat the Shmon Esrei. This concept of Shavila Kechova is a fascinating one. If you look, for example, the Magen Avraham, found in Tav Pei Tes, the Siman of Sfiras HaOmer, the Magen Avraham discusses to what extent are women obligated in Sfiras HaOmer. So the Magen Avraham writes the following, that technically speaking, Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah seseh shazman grama, and therefore women are exempt. However, the Magen Avraham writes, kvar shaviu aleha kechova, that women already have taken upon themselves the practice of counting sfira, and therefore they count with a bracha. In fact, in the very first tshuva of Rabbi Kveger, in the Hashmatos too, that tshuva, the tshuva Aleph, Rabbi Kveger writes that this is true of most mitzvos asei shehazman grama, that even though women, technically speaking, are exempt, the kvar shavu lekechova. Women routinely will hear Tkiah Shofar, they'll take the Dalet Minim, they'll sit in Sukkah, and therefore, even though it is true that technically speaking they are exempt, kvar shavu aleha kechova. That's the comment of Rabbi Kveger, that is the comment of the Magen Avraham. And the Minchas Tinuch is quite troubled by this application. Can you apply the concept of shavila kechova to a mitzvah seseh shehazman grama? Because the Minchas Tinuch suggests the following, in mitzvah shin vav, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. What does it mean, shavila kechova? Minchas Tinuch suggests the following. When it comes to Mariv, it's machlokes tanaim, machlokes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Yeshua maintains tchilas arvis as rishus, and technically that's what we paskin. Rabban Gamliel disagrees. Rabban Gamliel maintains that Mariv is a tfilas chova, and therefore, even though technically we assume like Rabbi Yeshua, but you know what, I or we have a right to assume the das hamachmirim. I can opt for the shita of Rabban Gamliel, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua. The Minchas Tinuch writes the following, that concept of Shavila Kechova is only b'makom plugta. When there is a machlokes, you have two deos, so therefore you can opt for the das hamachmirim. But let's assume, for example, you have something where there is no such dea. No one says that women are obligated in sukkah, or lulav, or shofar. If you want to say that even though women are exempt, women routinely fulfill these mitzvahs, that's fine. That's a fairly innocent statement. But to say shavu lekechova, you cannot convert that which is a reshus to a chiyuv. If there are two shitas, one can opt for the das hamachmirim. That's the ha'ara of the Minchas Tinuch. Really, this is found in the Ramah in Darkei Moshe. This is found in Siman Kuf Peches, where Darkei Moshe discusses the following. In earlier shiurim, we discussed the obligation of Shalosh Shuvos. To what extent do we assume that Shalosh Shudas is comparable to the first two Sudas of Shabbos, where one is obligated to wash, one is obligated to bench? These are Tudeos. We find in Shulchan Aruch. In Simin, Reish Sarites, there the Mechaber quotes both Deos, and there the Mechaber writes the following, that we assume Mikar Hadin, ideally a person should certainly wash for Shalosh Shudas. But the Mechaber acknowledges that it is a Machlokas, for Shalim. And therefore the Mechaber writes elsewhere in Kupeches, what happens if a person benches at Shalosh Shudas and forgets Ritzei? The rule of thumb always is you only repeat if there is a Chiyuv Suda. So if I forgot Yalav Yavo on Chol HaMoed or on Rosh Chodesh, I don't repeat. If I got the very same Yalav Yavo on Yontif, I'm obligated to repeat. I forget Ritzei, the first two meals of Shabbos, I have to repeat the benching. What about when it comes to Shalosh Shudas? The Mechaber writes that, look, I admit that there are two different deos, so therefore we'll be machmer on both ends in the sense that one should wash, but b'di'evet, if a person washes and benched and forgot for tzeva achleisenu, you don't repeat the birchas hamazon. So the Raman Kupeches writes the following, that maybe one could argue that even though it's true that there are two deos in Shulchan Aruch as to whether one must or does not have to have passed for Shalosh Shudas, but yet shavu aleha kechovo, that we have opted for the Das HaMachmirim, that we generally, routinely, will wash for Shalosh Shudas. And then the Ramah continues and writes, but you can't say this about Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Even if a person would have a minhag of washing, let's assume, every Rosh Chodesh, there the Ramah writes explicitly, you can't say Shavu Lekachova, and therefore you'd have to repeat the benching if you forgot Yalav Yavo, and the Ramah writes exactly that difference. Because when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, that's a machlokes. And therefore one can opt, one can be machria, kedas hamachmirim. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, there's no day that there's a chiv suda on Rosh Chodesh. So you could argue that I have a minhag, a hagatova, of washing and having a sudas Rosh Chodesh, but you cannot technically invoke the Hagdara of Shavu Lekachova if something purely is considered to be a Dvar Rishus. That is the is mentioned out of Ben Chassinah, that was found earlier in the Ramah. And this is against the Magen Avraham, Rabbi Kivega, that maintain, no, that's not true. Shavu Lekachova is not Midine Hachra, that you have to have that model, that view, but rather in the broadest sense. A person can go ahead and take upon themselves, or the tzibur can establish such a chiyuv based on shavua aleha kechova. There are other fascinating models as well, this concept of shavua kechova. There's a tshuva samarsham. It's very interesting. Each and every chasana, the Masada Kedushin recites the bracha of Birchas Erisin, Borei Pirgoten, and the Birchas Erisin, and he does so, right, apparently on behalf of the Chosin and Kala. We discussed in earlier Shiurim, the Rambam Shita, that really this is a Birchas HaMitzvah. And in principle, the Chosin should be reciting this bracha, but you know, the Chosin is somewhat nervous. He's not so accustomed to reciting Birchas Erisin. So therefore, it is the Misada condition that is Motzi, the Chosin, and perhaps the Kala, in this particular bracha. Birchas Erisin. That is a Birchas HaMitzvah, the Rambam writes. What about the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen? Borei Pri HaGafen is a Birchas HaMitzvah. You know, it's a minhag. It's a very early minhag in the time of the Gaonim to recite the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen in conjunction with Birchas Erisin. And the Gemara writes in Erevin and Daf Mem that certain brachos are enhanced when they are recited on a kos shel bracha. So Shechiyonu, for example. I can recite a Shechiyonu on Yantif even without a kos. Vaharaya, that's what we do. Konidre night. We don't have Kiddush, we don't have a kos. We recite the bracha of Shechiyonu and Shul. But if it wouldn't be a tainis, we would enhance the bracha by reciting it al hakos, and therefore the practice of incorporating Shechiyonu into the Kiddush. Not necessarily an inherent part of the Kiddush, but rather an enhancement to be misadra the bracha al hakos. And the Gonim write the same thing is true when it comes to Birchas Erisin. It lends chashivos, importance, prominence to the bracha by doing so on a kos shel bracha. But it's not an inherent part of Birchas Erisin. In fact, when the Gemara mentions Sheva brachos, the Gemara in Ksuvas and Avches, when you count all the brachos, really there are six brachos, but the practice of being misader, those brachos al hakos, and now we have an additional bracha, Borei Pri HaGafen, for a total of seven brachos. But Birchas Erisin and Birchas Nisuin, is the bracha Borei Pri HaGafen really inherent, or is it not? That's the Arav of the Pnei Yeshua, and the Kuntres Achron, in the very back of his beer and maseches ksuvas and avches, that you know the bracha bar perigof and really is a birchas hanenin. And what is the marked difference between a birchas hanen and a birchas hamitzvah? The concept of yatsa motzi. Shomea ka'one applies even to a birchas hanenin. I can make a bracha of hamotzi and I will eat and you can partake as well. We do that every Shabbos. However, if I would simply recite a bracha of hamotzi exclusively, expressly for you, and I would not partake, that doesn't work. Right? The birchas hanenin, by extension, I can be motzi you. A birchas hamitzvah I can recite purely for you. That is the concept of yatsa motzi. So the Pnei Yeshua writes that perhaps one should argue the same is true when it comes to birchas erisin, that the bracha bara pri hagafen really is a birchas hanenin, which means the Masada Kedushin should recite the bracha and then drink, and then offer the yayin to the chosn v'kala to drink. But if he will simply give them the wine without any te'ima, so therefore his bracha is left hanging, and they are drinking without a bracha because there's no linkage between his birchas hanenin and their participation. They're drinking without the concept of a shomea ka'ona, that first I will drink, and then by extension you can be yotzei as well. Lafikayam writes in the beginning of Chelek Beis of his Shuvas that when Reb Chaim was Masada Kedushin, he used to spill a little bit of the wine on his hand and take a sip, pass it to Chasan and Kala, in order that he would be telling. Interesting, Reb Chaim did not want to so overtly go against the Minhag HaOlam, but in a very discreet fashion would see to it that in some shape or form he was telling before giving to Chasan and Kala. So the Shuvas HaMarsham writes the following, that Shavu Aleha Kecholva. It's true. Even though this is not the Makom Plukta, this is only a Rishus, this is only an early Minag, but isn't it a universal practice? Kvar Nagel Kol Yisrael, always to recite Birchas Erisin in conjunction with a Koshal Bracha, and therefore that elevates the Bracha, not simply as a Rishus, but rather as a Chova. And therefore you can apply the principle of Yatsa Motzi. It's a further example of Shuva Kechova taking something which is a pure Dvar Rishus, but the practice of Knesset Yisrael elevating it to the status of Echova, similar to what the Magen Avraham Avikei Vega write regarding cases of mitzvah sasei shahazman grama. So fascinating issue, to what extent one can assume that Shavila Kachova is a very technical statement, and that is simply midine hachra, opting for an existing view, or no, just simply as a hanhaga tova, nagel kol Yisrael, that sometimes an individual minhag, or sometimes the universal minhag of Knesset Yisrael, as the Rambam writes, that already can alter the status of the particular practice and label it as that which is considered to be a chova. What are the differences as tefillas arvis and rishus as opposed to shacharis and mincha? Again, Tosfos cites a technical one, right? The triage in mitzvos. But bottom line, what are differences between Maariv as opposed to Shacharis and Mincha? So the Rambam cites a couple of additional differences that you don't find in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Chav Zayin that the Rav Tzali Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. The Rav has the practice, as we often do, of davening Maariv early on Shabbos. How is that possible? To daven Maariv early. So if you look in Rashi, in that Sugya Brachos Chav Zayin, Rashi writes, because of the vehicle of Tosefes. The Gemara writes, Yemei Daf Pei Aleph. There's a mitzvah to begin Shabbos early. And therefore, hand in hand with Tosefes is the allowance to daven early, to make Kiddush early. It is a function of the mitzvah of Tosefes. But as you know, that's not so simple according to the Rambam's view, because the Rambam never mentions a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. We've discussed several times. The Rambam has the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. The Pasuk says, V'inisim es nafsho sefim, V'sish l'chodesh v'erev. But the Rambam makes no mention at all of Tosefes Shabbos. Magid Mishnah writes that there is no such mitzvah, according to the Rambam. Well, if there's no mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, when the Gemara tells us that Rav Yisidav in Maariv early, the Rambam is going to have to explain that in a different way. What is the allowance to Dav in Maariv at an earlier time? So the Rambam writes in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tefila, that is not because of Tosefes, but rather the Rambam writes that Tefilas Arvis Rishus Ein Medaktikin Bismana. that tefillas arvis is only rishus, and that's an allowance to daven early. In principle, a person could even daven early if necessary on a weekday as well. It was a more common practice to do so on Shabbos, but nonetheless, the Rambam writes this could apply equally even v'chol. Tefillas arvis rishus in medaktik in bizmana. This chiddush of the Rambam is a twofold chiddush. Chiddush number one is the halacha of the Rambam. And that is that you can daven early because tefillah service is rishus. If Kiddush number two, we just mentioned the Rambam writes that, you know what, tefillah service was a rishus. But already, kfar nahagu kol Yisrael, shavyol lekecholva. Maybe one would have expected the Rambam should have said the following, that in principle you could daven early, but in practice, we already have established Marav as a tefillah scholva. You see, an interesting Kiddush according to the Rambam, that even post Shavuot Lekechova, there are still differences between Mariv as opposed to Shachris and Mincha. Even Shavuot Lekechova does not mean that we have a right to equate Shachris and Mincha with Mariv. It's an interesting Kiddush. That is the Rambam's view. Rav Chaim writes, we'll have to discuss the Rav Chaim at greater length, but the Tfilas Mariv, in essence, is a Tfilas Rishus. The Cheftz, its character, really is a Tfilas Rishus. What does Shavila Kechova mean? Gavra Cheftza? No, Rav Chaim writes the following Kiddush. Shavila Kechova is Aloche in Gavra. No, not Aloche in Cheftza. A carbon, for example. A carbon Adava. I take upon myself, you know what, every day I'm going to bring this carbon. Every day I'm going to bring an olas nedava. If you were to ask me, is that a carbon chova? It's not a carbon chova. It's still a carbon nedava. Aye, but you said you'll do so? You're right. You've created a personal obligation to offer a carbon nedava each and every day. But the inherent character of that carbon will still be a carbon nedava. It is not a carbon chova. The Rambam apparently understood the same is true when it comes to tefillah. Inherently, the tefillah really is a tefillas rishus. Shavuot Lekechova means that we have taken upon ourselves to daven a tefillas nedava each and every night. But the tefillah remains a tefillas nedava, and that is why the Rambam mentions that there could be differences between Mariv as opposed to Shachris and Mincha. The Rambam in Perek Tes, of the Chos Tefillah, gives you another difference, and that is Chazaras HaShatz. The Rambam writes, why is there no Chazaras HaShatz? When it comes to Mariv, the Rambam writes, because Tefillah service is only a Rishus. And the need for Chazaras HaShatz, the Tefillah HaTzibur, is only when it comes to a Tefillah Chova, not when it comes to a Tefillah Nedava, a Tefillah Rishus. And even though Shavuot Lekechova, but still the character of the Tefillah is still a Tefillah Nedava, and there is no repetition of Shmon Esrei when it comes to a Tefillah Nedava. That is the view that the Rambam writes. Even a further difference. If you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, at Chav Dalet, there the Gemara discusses what we refer to as the Tefillah Achas Me'ein Sheva. That is, you know, on Lel Shabbos, all of a sudden the Chazan has a form of a Chazaras HaShatz. The first bracha in Magen Avos and concluded by the Chasim of Mekadesh HaShabbos. Why exactly is that true? What was the basis of that practice of this Tefillah Achas Me'ein Sheva? So Rashi explains in Shabbos Chof Dalet the following, that you know in earlier times it was very difficult. People during the week did not used to daven Mariv Bitzibur. But Rashi writes, when it comes to Lel Shabbos, everyone would flock to shul. And the shuls were not always located in the middle of the city, they were sometimes on the outskirts of the city. So Rashi explains as follows, the person would come late to shul, sometimes it happens, and then therefore, he'd need to be in the middle of his davening, right? Davening would be over. Everybody would leave the shul, and he kind of would be stuck in the corner still davening. He now would have to walk home, right, after davening, alone, right? That could be somewhat dangerous at times. Am Shabbos Sados, after all, is mentioned. The shul was not in the thick of the metropolitan area, and therefore, Chazal instituted, right, a vehicle, a tool, in order to see to it that he could end his Shmon Esrei, right, together with the Tzibur. So therefore, kind of, we bought time. Now, and therefore, we'll have a form of a Chazaras HaShatz, right? The davening will take a little bit longer, and in such a case, that will allow this person to finish his tefillah, even if he should come late, and he could leave shul together with others. That's how Rashi explains the Shabbos Ados. So, I came late, right, they're davening, right, I will be able to daven my Shmoneh Esrei while they're still having this form of a Chazaras Hashatz. According to Rashi, the Tefillah Achas Min Shev is simply as a barrier, a window of buying time, in order to allow a person to catch up. You know, according to Rashi, maybe one could have argued that Chazal didn't have to institute the Tefillah Achas Min Shev. Maybe they could have instituted that, you know, let's say Pirkei Tillim at the end of davening, right? Maybe they were afraid that the Tillim people would not stay for, and they would leave immediately when davening was over, right? But not for the Chazaras Hashatz. But in principle, they could have instituted many different things in order kind of to elongate the davening, to see to it that this person can have others accompany him home. When you look at this on the Gaon, in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Samaches, the Gaon explains it differently, and you understand exactly why the Chazal instituted this Chazaras Hashatz. The Gaon explains the person comes late to Shul. And, you know, if he'll daven, he'll be stranded in Shul by himself. So therefore, you know what the takana of Tilachas Min Sheva was? That not that he will daven, but rather he will be Yotze with the Chazaras Hashatz of the Chazan. Not that simply will stall. And one could have raised the question, why did institute Pirkei Tillim? Why Chazaras Hashatz? Now the answer is the following. He's not going to daven Maariv. He's going to be Yotze by listening to the Tefillah of the Chazan. That's the Chiddush that the Vilna Gaon writes. So it's not simply a barrier, a way of stalling to allow him to daven, but he will be Yotze his Tefillah in that way. You know, perhaps this is L'shitas, there are various different minhagim. Who says, right, the Tefillah Achas Min Sheva? Who says Magen Avos? So the most common practice is that the Tzibur recites Magen Avos as well as the Chazan. The Mishneh Berurah does point out that realize this is a form of Chazaras Hashatz, and therefore it's necessary to hear the Chazan say every word of Magen Avos, and therefore the Chazan should not just begin Kel Hodos, but rather the Chazan should wait. Everyone finishes their recitation of Magen Avos, and then the Chazan should begin again with Magen Avos. The Mishneh Berurah also writes when it comes to Modim D'Rabbanan that the Chazan should recite every word of Modim aloud. There it's interesting. There the Mishneh Berurah writes it's okay for the Chazan to say Modim simultaneously with the Tzibur saying Modim D'Rabbanan. There Rosh Lavechik, the Chazan Ish also maintained that no, it's similarly that the Tzibur should hear every word of Modim from the Chazan. And therefore, Rav Slavechik preferred that the Chazan should not recite Modim while the Tzibur was saying Modim D'Rabbanan. You know, the beginning is a little tricky because the beginning is a form of Hishtachava. And therefore, you don't want to convey a conception as though the Tzibur is being Hishtachava and the Chazan is not willing to be Hishtachava together with the Tzibur. So the Modim, the opening that the Chazan should say together with the Tzibur, and the practice of Rav Slavechik, which is also called the name of the Chazanish, was then to wait. Let everybody say Modim D'Rabbanan, and then the Chazan should pick up, as we do when it comes to Magen Avos, to hear every word of the Tefillah HaTzibur, Mipi HaChazan. The Gaon disagrees. The Gaon is quoted in Maaseh Rav, in Os Kuf Yud Zayin, that the Tzibur doesn't say Magen Avos at all. Only the Chazan says Magen Avos. The Tzibur does not do so. That was the Minhag HaGra. To such an extent, perhaps as Gaon is L'shitase. After all, the Gaon maintained that what is the purpose of this Tefillah Achas Min Sheva? This is a Chazaras Hashatz. To be Motzi Eyachid, who for whatever reason did not daven individually. Well, if that is true, this is exclusively recited by the Chazan. If you assume it's just a barrier in order to stall, to buy time, one could argue that maybe the Chazan should say it, the Tzibur should say it, both should say it, but the Gaon maintained consistently this is a formal Chazaras Hashatz only recited by the Chazan, and maybe various minhagim as to whether everyone recites Magen Avos or whether only the Chazan in fact does so. According to the Gaon, you see from the Takana of Tefillah Achas Min Sheva that one could be Yotze with this form of Chazaras Hashatz. That was the whole purpose of the Takana. And in fact, that's what the Torah quotes, the name of Rav Ratzonoi Gaon, that if a person made a mistake in his Shmoneh Esrei and Maariv, or for whatever reason, if a person didn't daven, he can be Yotze with the Bracha Achas Me'ein Sheva. He can be Yotze with that. That's what the Mechaber writes in Reish Samaches. So the Beis Yosef argues as follows. Why is that so? I was obligated to daven. I was obligated to daven seven full brachos. And I can be Yotze with simply a Bracha Achas Me'ein Sheva, with such an abridged form of Shmoneh Esrei, with one bracha. Well, why is that possible? Why is that true? I'll give you an example. The person washed, he's obligated to bench, and by mistake he recites an alamechia. He should have recited three full brachos of benching in HaTorah, and he recited a bracha achas mein shalosh. He's not yotze. He's obligated to repeat the brachas hamazon. Right? We don't necessarily assume that with the most abridged form of a tefillah, one could necessarily be yotze. It's an interesting issue, whether that's daraisa, whether that's derabanan. It requires a separate shir on what midaraisa is necessary for Birchas HaMazon. Three brachos, one bracha, the theme, bris in Torah, right, is not mentioned in Alamechia. Is that inherent when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, one would not be yotze? But we do assume that by saying Alamechia, one is not going to be yotze if you're obligated to bench. Why here all of a sudden a person is obligated to full Shemoneh Esrei? How can he be yotze with one bracha? So the Beis Yosef writes in Reish Samaches, that is because Tefillah Sarvis is vicious. If Tefillah Sarvis would be a Tefillah Schova, you could not be yotze with a bracha achas. But since Tefillah Sarvis is a rishus, so therefore you can be yotze. That's the fascinating chiddush of the Beis Yosef. Because Tefillah Sarvis is a rishus, that is why you can be yotze with a bracha achas main sheva. I'll give you an interesting possible nafkamina, an interesting possibility. This is a prima gadim in Kuf Chavav. A person didn't daven mincha erev Shabbos. Happens. No? He's obligated in Tashlumin. He's obligated to daven Mariv. Now he has to daven a second Shmoneh Esrei for Tashlumin Mincha. So I ask you an interesting Siddush. Mariv is a Rishus. What about Tashlumin Mincha? Is that a Rishus or is that a Chovah? And that's all clear. The Prima Gadim assumes, interesting, that Mariv may be a Rishus, but your makeup of Tulas Mincha, that is a tefillas chovah. It's interesting. Can the tefillas tashlumin be more chomer than the ikar tefillah bizmano? Can the tefillah, so to speak, be more chomer than the ikar? The ikar tefillah is only rishus, but the Prima Gadim writes mincha zachovah and tashlumin mincha zachovah. So the Prima Gadim writes the following. You know, I'll have the following idea. You know what? I didn't daven mincha. I have to daven tashlumin. I'll daven my regular mariv, but I'll be yotzei mechiv tashlumin with the brachachas. Main Sheva, that the Prima Gadim writes you cannot do. Because the Beis Yosef writes, the only reason you're also because Tefillah Sarvis is a Rishus, and this Tashlumin is not a Rishus, this Tashlumin is considered to be a Tefillah Chova. But it's interesting, that dichotomy, that the Ikar Tefillah is Rishus, and the Tchiyuv Tashlumin is considered to be a Chova. We always assume that the Tashlumin is on the coattails of the Tefillah Chova. Right, but you have to first have the Ikar HaTfila, and then you can have a Tfila Tashlumin. It's unusual to assume that that's true. I'll tell you a fascinating tshuva. If you look, where Shlomo Kluger writes, in Elef HaShlomo, it's found in Simon Nun Gimel, here where Shlomo Kluger writes that in such a case, you didn't daven mincha, and you're obligated in Tashlumin mincha, on that night, Tfila Sarvis is a chova. Because you must daven Tashlumin, and Tashlumin has to be preceded by, right, the Ikar HaTfila. So therefore, that Shmoneh Esrei now is a Tfilas Chovah, even though Mariv in and of itself is only a Tfilas Rishus. Interesting possibility. In other words, in that particular case, I didn't have a mincha on Erev Shabbos, and now already it is Shabbos, and I'm obligated in Tashlumin. There I couldn't even be Yosei Mariv through the Brach Alchaz Main Sheva, because tonight's Mariv is a Chovah, not per se, but as an allowance to daven in the Tfilas Tashlumin. That's unusual. That's a very great Kiddush. I would argue Pashut Pshat is what the Rosh Hashanah assumes. Rosh Hashanah writes in Brachos Nefchavav that the Tafel cannot be more chomer than the Ikar. A Tfilas Tashlumin can never be more chomer than the Tfilas Kova. And therefore, Tashlumei Mincha is only Rishus. If I didn't daven Shachris, I'm obligated in Tashlumei Shachris. But if I didn't daven mincha tashlumin, the chiyuv tashlumin cannot be more chomer than the ikar tefillah b'osa hazman. And in such a case, if mariv is rishus, then the tashlumei mariv is only rishus, and then I could be yotzei. My chiyuv tashlumin with the tefillah of the Shmoneh Esrei with the bracha achas me'ein shalosh. Three possibilities. Fascinating. If a person didn't daven mincha on Erev Shabbos, what are the coming tefillahs?
You mentioned at the time that you would end up doubling three times Mariv. You may have stopped the attack on Antami.
Great. That's what the Rif writes. Right. When you should have davened a Tfilas Chova and a Tfilas Tashlumin, the Tfilas Chova must be first, the Tfilas Tashlumin must follow, and if you reverse the order in such a case, you're not going to be on. That certainly is true.
Oh, but that's the day you are in my life. I'm talking about you messed up.
Yeah, that's the Rif Shita. Correct. Right.
So you end up saying Tfilas Reshut three times. When the whole tefillah is
raised. Right, that's the question. To what extent is that true? In other words, you should say a tachan antano in the first tefillah. If you not do so, it's clear if your mindset was that you were flipping the sequence, that is considered to be something which is critical. Right, so perhaps, right, that rif would indicate that the first tefillah really is a tefillah shova, right, and the second is only considered to be a tefillah shoshus in that particular
day. What about us being davening on Friday night?
You always follow the slot that you're in. Right. It has to be a Tfilah Shabbos.
Maybe you're mincha with another Ma'arav of Shabbos.
Right. No, you can only follow the time period that you're in. The person didn't daven mincha on Shabbos, right? He's davening Tashlum Atzoi Shabbos, he'll daven 19 brachos. Even though he only missed 7 brachos. If a person, for example, didn't daven mincha on Shabbos, in such a case, he davens Ma'arav. See, there's a Frank writes in the Shuvas. What happens if a person daven mincha on Erev Shabbos, but he forgot the same Talamata? Right? And is he chayv in Tashlumin? Tashlumin, I'm going to daven at Tfilah Shabbos. I'm not going to be saying the same Talamata in any case. But you argue, good, but you have to daven again to be yotzei the mitzvah tefillah. Or do you argue that no tefillah you are yotzei? Right? All you're missing is the chiyuv azkara. Normally you'll make that up, but if you're not going to make it up, in that case, maybe don't daven at Tfilah Tashlumin in that particular case. Right? You always follow the slot, in fact, that you're in. So it's a fascinating issue in terms of possibilities, differences between Shachris Mincha as opposed to Ma'ariv, even though we assume Shavu Aleha Kechova.
This is just... Maybe.
The Ramban on Parshas Emor, not so clear. There is such a Prima Gadim that writes the Sheet of the Ramban is that Tfilah Shabbos is considered to be a Chiyuv. But it's a great Kiddush to assume that that is true. There's a Ramban in Parshas Emor on the Pasuk of Mikra Kodesh, where the Ramban writes that, what is Mikra Kodesh? What does the word Mikra Kodesh mean? The Ramban writes, a holy assembly, right? A time that we gather, the Ramban writes, the Kadesh Hayom B'Tfilah, the Kadesh Hayom B'Tfilah. So what exactly does that mean? The Ramban writes that we gather together before Hesia for the purpose of Kiddush Hayom. So the Prima Gadim suggests the Kiddush, that even the Ramban that assumes that Tfilah is only the Rabbanan, Tfilah Shabbos, right, is considered to be Daraisa. Very, very great Kiddush. Tfilah Shabbos B'Tzibur is a din Daraisa. That's what the Prima Gadim suggests. There's no mention of this at all in the Ramban. In fact, that Ramban I just mentioned, Sefer Mitzvah, Mitzvah Hay, the Ramban writes Tfilah is a Mitzvah Daraisa. And the Ramban disagrees and says it's not true. And the Ramban writes, maybe there's one exception, as I mentioned at the beginning, maybe it's Tfilah which is Be'esh Sarah. You know, you would have expected the Ramban to write, and what about Shabbos? Shabbos is an example. No, the Ramban does not count Tfilah as a Mitzvah Daraisa at all. Right? And therefore, it's interesting.
It could be.
That maybe it's Midin Kiddush, for example. I suggested based on Rashi and Yuma that it's Midin Kiddush. It's not necessarily as far as the Chiyuv of Tfilah is concerned, but it's a very great Kiddush that Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim that assumes that... Right, the whole takana was really, it was not me'ein hama'ora. When it comes, for example, to something like yalav yavo, that's considered to be me'ein hama'ora. Here it was not. Here it was just a concern because of a takana of amsha besados, because the fixed shul was often found in the outskirts of town, and therefore it was only, right, in a place of a makam kavua b'tfilaso. Then we can discuss the details. What exactly defines a makam kavua? Kviyas in terms of timing, and also kviyas in terms of the presence of Sefer Torah, for example. Is that necessary in order to label something as that which is kavua? Right? Apparently the Poshav Shat in Shulchan Aruch that if one davens in a home, for example, on Friday night, you do not say Magen Avos, was a reason to indicate that you shouldn't be davening in the home. That's why you should go to shul. Not that you should daven in the house and not have the chazaras hashas. That wasn't the intent of the Shulchan Aruch and Reis Samachas. You should daven in the shul because you're not going to have a full kiyum of tefillah. It's important to Aron, based medrash kavua, that where that's necessary. But again, these are interesting differences. Ma'ariv as opposed to the case of shachris and mincha. The difference could be as follows, even regarding the obligation of women in field. That we'll have to discuss. The Mishnah tells us in Brachos Brachos and Davchav, that women are obligated in tefillah. We would have thought that tefillah is mandrama, but yet the Mishnah tells us women are obligated because of rachamininus. So we discussed in last year to what extent that applies to tefillah musaf. Because musaf really is not bakoshas rachamin. Musaf really is that which is keneged hakarban. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Kuvav that even if you assume women are obligated, as the Mishnah Berurah assumes la'alacha in Shachris and Mincha, based on the Ramban, so in such a case they're still exempt from Tfilas Arvis. Because Arvis is Rishus, but Shavila Kechova, and Shavila Kechova did not extend to women. They never accepted upon themselves the routine obligation of davening Maariv, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes, women should daven Shachris and Mincha, but not when it comes to Tfilas Arvis. That point of Reb Chaim, difference between chetze as opposed to gavra, so to speak, in terms of tefillah, in terms of kavanah, this is what we'll have to elaborate. Because maybe we'll discuss next week, right, the beautiful chiddush that the Rambam has, again, a further difference between maariv and shachris and mincha, a case where a person is in the middle of Shmon Esrei, and all of a sudden, nizkar shekvar hispala. He remembers he already davened. Sometimes it happens, you know. The Talmidim, sometimes they'll have Seder in the yeshiva Friday morning after Sila daven mincha. Then they go home for Shabbos, and they're in shul Friday night. All of a sudden, they start davening mincha again, right? And they realize they already davened. That's the case in brachos, and avchafali. What happens if a person is ve'emtza hatfila? So here, interesting, the Rambam distinguishes again between shachris and mincha as opposed to Maariv, based on the concept of tefillah services rishus. See, the Rambam Shita is you can daven a tefillah nova, you can daven a tefillah nedava, but you cannot daven a Shmon Esrei, half of which is a chova and half of which is nedava. So if you began with the mindset that this is the first time I'm davening a tefillah chova, and all of a sudden you remember in the middle of Shmon Esrei that you davened already, post seik afilu bem tzabracha, you just stop. You have no right to continue. The Rambam writes, not true of Maariv. A person, right, davened an earlier minyan from Maariv, all of a sudden he's davening later, realize he davened already. Yeah, the Rambam writes, you continue in davening. Why? Because Maariv is only Rishus. Even when he began his Shema Esrei, he was not davening a day to Dechova. He was davening as a Tfilas Rishus, as a Tfilas Adava. And therefore that's seamless. No, the first half and the second half, that's already called Min Benino. Even though Shavuot Dechova, you have the Techefts inherently, the Tfilah is still a Tfilas Nedava. And therefore the Rambam writes, you can have a seamless transition between the first half and the second half of Tfilah in Nizka Shikvar Hispalel, but only in Maariv, not in the case of Shachris and Minchim. The Raivid disagrees with that Rambam. That we'll have to discuss. This Machlok is the Rambam and Raivid. Then maybe we'll see some more examples, differences between Tfilas Arvis as opposed to that of Shachris and Minchim. So, Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll continue with Tfilas Arvis.
So with Rachmei Shem, how you relate, right? I'm still down in the corner, and how do you see?